let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. This Week in America, online, thisweekinamerica.us. Dr. Ed Carlton is using his experience as a mechanical engineer and a healthcare professional to help patients who suffer from brain-based disorders, finding relief through a drug-free solution through a brain training method known as neurofeedback. He's helped patients who suffer from the likes of ADD, ADHD, bipolar disorder, PTSD, autism, epilepsy, insomnia, traumatic brain injuries as well. Dr. Carlton is author of the book, The Answer, and he views neurofeedback training as a cross between engineering and medicine, using the best of both to provide long-term drug-free relief for patients. He believes that through the neurofeedback training, many symptoms caused by brain-based disorders can be eliminated without the use of pharmaceuticals. He knows firsthand, diagnosed with bipolar disorder in midlife, he spent years searching for a natural solution to his brain-based disorder, and he found it with neurofeedback training. And Dr. Edward Carlton, author of The Answer, joining us on This Week in America. Dr. Carlton, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you for having me, Rick.
I've been looking forward to this so much. It is such an important program. And as I mentioned, you know firsthand that this works because you were looking like so many people out there and you tried, and we'll talk about it, the medications, and some work, some don't. You've got side effects and new medication because of that. One of the chapters in the book is called I'm Not Just a Practitioner, I'm a Client. Talk about that journey that you were on and how you came to neurofeedback training, because it really turned your life around.
That's correct. As it says in the book, basically, I originally suffered with ADHD as a child because I'm 60 years old. So this is back in the 50s and the 60s, right? So they didn't do a lot for it. So I just had some challenges as far as that goes. But I didn't really develop full-blown bipolar disorder until I was in my mid-30s. That being said, most people don't realize you're not born with bipolar disorder. You'd have a genetic tendency towards it. But depending on what happens in your life determines whether or not you actually develop it or not. I had a lot of different challenges, as the book goes into. But as a result of them, I ended up developing bipolar disorder when I was, as I said, in my mid-30s. I first tried medications then. I have to say I did not like them. And I didn't stay on them. I was on it for about 18 months, and then I quit. Like most people who have bipolar disorder, I'd just rather suffer than that and deal with the consequences or the side effects of the drugs themselves.
And you mentioned that on the outside, people would look at you and think you had really a nice life going. And you're 29, you're back in college. And in the book, you talk about a powerlifting accident changed your life. Actually, watching the Flintstones on television, you realized, I'm not laughing. There's something that I'm missing in life here. A chiropractor came in and it turned your life around. But at this point, you were going through the mood swings with the bipolar disorder. Talk about that, because, and you mentioned this, once you go to a doctor, they normally go to the toolkit, things that are there, they're taught that work. And that was pharmaceuticals, and you ended up an unpleasant journey with them. Talk about that, because so many people can relate to that. Drugs, they work, and they also create more problems than you anticipate.
Yes. Well, you went back further in my history than I'd originally started. My first degree is mechanical engineering, as you stated. I worked as an engineer for a number of years. I was injured in a weightlifting accident. A squat rack broke, and I ended up breaking my back as a result. That's what got me back into chiropractic school. And as you said, at 1.29, I was going to school. Things were going pretty well. Once I got out of school, we started working. And in all honesty, work was always the easiest part about doing things. Even when I was on medications, work was the simplest part of my life. However, what happens when you go to the doctor, and I did, at the behest of my wife and some friends, and I finally realized I needed help. And the doctors tend to look at symptoms. That's how they look. You suffer with anxiety, we're going to give you an anti-anxiety medication. You suffer with depression, we'll give you an antidepressant. Whatever it is, they give you a drug designed to help with that particular symptom.
Right.
Well, the challenge there, and I found, the first time I took them, I became really manic because I took an antidepressant. It's called, the one I was on at that point, was something called Zoloft. It's still out there. You see commercials for it even today. That being said, I got on it. It made me manic. I didn't like it, so I quit taking it. Well, fast forward about 5-7 years, I'm in my early 40s at this point, and it became obvious I really needed help. So I went to another psychiatrist and started what you're talking about, my trip as far as 18, 19 years, maybe a little longer, of routine medication use for bipolar disorder. I sat down and figured it out. Over the course of 19 years I was on, that I can recall, 20 plus medications in a variety of different combinations. They call it a drug cocktail. With bipolar disorder, that's actually what it's called. Like, when we go to the psychiatrist, say, okay, we're still working your cocktail. It's, I'm still suffering with anxiety, or I'm not sleeping well. Sleep was always a real challenge. Well, okay, we're working on that. Take more of this or less of that or whatever. And as you point out, very often I was on medications and it would give me one positive effect. For example, lithium is a heavy metal salt and it's prescribed for the manic highs that bipolar disorders have. Well, I took lithium for a number of years, but it worked from the point of view removing the highs, but it removed everything else as well. It just made you flat, which is what it was designed to do. It also gave me severe gastrointestinal problems. I gained weight as a result of it, and ultimately had to get off of it because of the side effects themselves. But that's just one example, one type of medication. It solves one problem and creates something else.
Dr. Edward Carlton, our guest on the program. The book we're talking about is called The Answer. His website is very simple. It's CarltonNeurofeedbackCenter.com. Go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and you can link on directly. We're talking about the problems that Dr. Carlton went through, so similar. And when you're talking about depression, and you make the point in the book, you take the antidepressants, and it really did nothing to change the thought of depression. And when we look at so many of these medications, as you said, they're targeting the symptoms and not the source. Once you figured out how to get to the source, you said your life became worth living again. You talk about it, the sun had broken through the storm clouds.
Yes. Kind of emotional for me. I apologize for that. This was several years ago, and I was at a convention. We were doing our annual training that we do symposiums, and we're taking courses for our licensure as a chiropractor. And I found someone offering neurofeedback, and I did a sample of it, and I really have to say it made a huge difference. In just a short period of time, I noticed the difference in how I felt. And when I talked to the practitioner, he said, yes, this is a way you can handle bipolar disorder. It was on this big sign in the corner, right, at the seminar I was attending. And I have to say, at that point, obviously, I was obsessed with the idea of getting off the medications. At that time, I was on four several times a day. So I was ready to try anything, to be quite honest. So I, as I said in the book, as it says, you know, I did my research. I traveled to the place where the gentleman practiced. And subsequently, I'm now a licensed certified neurofeedback provider. But the key takeaway for me and for anybody else watching this is basically this. Over the course of 3 months, I went from taking four medications several times a day to taking virtually none. I use vitamin supplements, but I don't take medicines at all anymore, because I don't need them. I now sleep an average of about 6 hours a night. I'm calmer. I can trust my judgment processes better. My kids, who forgave me for being bipolar, that was an interesting talk several years ago, are really happy with the results, because now it's predictable who you're going to get. So one of your biggest challenges of being bipolar and being on medications is you never know who's going to wake up the next day. You go to bed one way, you wake up a different way.
Yeah, so it's sort of the drug that dictates the mood that you're in.
Yes. Well, drug and the dosages, it wears out during the night. So you wake up, and it depends on what cocktail you have in you at the time that you awaken. The nice thing about the neurofeedback training is it eliminated the imbalance in my brain itself. As you mentioned, if you take antidepressants, unless you go to the source, which is the brain patterns themselves, what you're treating is the result of depressive thoughts. You're not treating the tendency towards them. You're not correcting the brain function. You're now dealing with the chemistry in the body that's created as a result of the negative, depressive thoughts. What neurofeedback training is actually changes those patterns, allowing you to think in a more positive, efficient manner.
When you started looking into the neurofeedback training, you did research on this, and you found this is what goes back a number of years, I think originally treated for epilepsy, and you found out it really had dramatic results for adults as well as for children.
That's correct. The neurofeedback training really doesn't have an age limit. My oldest patient to date is 94. We were treating her for cognitive decline quite successfully, I might add. She's very pleased with the results. Yes, she thought she was going to end up in a home, and she's not. She's still living on her own. On the other end, about 6 years old is about as young as you can train, and that's not because of the problem, simply because of the way the brain develops. You really can't get make a proper diagnosis of a child under the age of six to use for neurofeedback training because the brain hasn't developed enough yet. You don't have enough differentiation to make that diagnosis and do a proper training protocol.
Our guest on the program is Dr. Edward Carlton. The book we're discussing is The Answer. The book is for anyone with ADD, ADHD, anxiety, depression, insomnia, autism, bipolar disorder, epilepsy, PTSD, or traumatic brain injury. The book is available all across the country. You can link out to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and go directly to Dr. Carlton's website, which is carltonneurofeedbackcenter.com. Again, go to the website. You can link on directly to get that information. Time goes by so quickly, and we'll have Dr. Carlton back on the program, but you sort of described this as sort of a fun new workout for the brain. What exactly is neurofeedback training?
Well, simplest way to put it, it uses a branch of psychology known as cognitive behavioral therapy. It uses an approach known as operant conditioning. Fancy terms. Everybody's done it. If you ever learn how to ride a bike, you know how to use operant conditioning. The way it works simply is basically this. Just like if you get on a bike and you first start, if you lean too far right, you fall over. To the left, the same thing. You pretty quickly learn to stay on the bike, right? Because your brain learns from experience. Well, neurofeedback training uses that exact same approach. So in my office and in any office for a neurofeedback trainer, there's different types of equipment, but the basic protocols work pretty much the same way. If you were to come to my office and say, okay, I'm suffering with anxiety or ADD or ADHD or whatever it is, we would do a brain map, it's called. It's known as a quantitative electroencephalogram. It looks like a shower cap. It's got a bunch of sensors on it. And in real time, we can measure how someone's brain is actually working. So by that, I mean we can measure where it's going too fast, where it's going too slow, where the connections are clogged. Just like, for example, if you go on a Google Waze or whatever, and you want to see how much traffic is in some place, you put it in, and they can tell you how much traffic is there, right? So yes. Nobody's surprised you can get a map of Tokyo when you live in Houston, right? Well, the same thing happens here. We can actually get a map of someone's brain and how it's working in real time. With that information, I can design a protocol, and so can any certified neurofeedback provider. Can design a protocol to help your brain work more efficiently. The training itself is basically this. You sit quietly in a chair. You put sensors on your scalp. Now understand, we're not putting anything in. These are just simply sensors. You're only measuring. So while we're measuring, you're sitting down, relaxing, watching a movie, watching a video. Just something that keeps your interest. In my office, we use positive motivation videos for my adults because I believe it adds an extra benefit. For the kids, they'll watch whatever they like. Thomas the Train, you know, it doesn't matter. Cartoons, something light that they enjoy watching. It keeps their focus on the TV monitor, right? So while they're watching it and we're measuring it, their brain, just like yours is now, right? When you're thinking, you go, okay, if you're suffering with anxiety, your brain speeds up. So while you're watching a movie, you find yourself thinking these anxious thoughts. Or if you're someone who suffers with ADD, you can't focus. So while you're watching the movie, your brain slows down and you just can't keep your focus and you find yourself wandering off. Well, the thing about it is when you're in our office and we've got the sensors attached, we can measure that. So when the brain goes outside the parameters that I've set, the movie goes dim and the sound goes down. Now, it's not a painful process, but this is just like leaning too far right or too far left in the bike. Over time, your brain, this happens hundreds of times a minute during your regular training session. So over time, your brain learns to stay within the lines, just like you learned how to ride a bike. The neat thing about it is neurofeedback training done this way over the course of 15, 20, 25 sessions can make dramatic changes in how the brain works when you're not in the chair. because just like riding that bike, your brain learns and it takes that information away with you. It acquires it, then it consolidates it and uses it from that point forward. So the nice thing about neural feedback training, as evidenced by me and other people, is once the corrections are made and your brain works better, it will continue to use those new pathways from then on. And you keep getting better even after you finish your last neural feedback training session.
How long did it take you before you realized, you know what, I'm making some progress here. I'm able to cut back on some meds and I'm feeling pretty good. I'm enjoying life again.
Well, in my case, being a kind of a driven soul, right? I did my sessions 5 times a week. Not necessarily recommended, unless your reader willing to put up a lot of change fairly quickly. I was, because I was motivated to get off my medications. I started decreasing my meds after I'd taken 20 sessions. And after 40 sessions, I was pretty much out of them. That was 2 months in my case. That's 40 sessions. Now, I want you to understand bipolar disorder is one of the more challenging things to take care of, even with neurofeedback training. And 40 sessions wasn't all I've done. I've now done, I do subsequent follow-up visits for myself, because I obviously I have the equipment and I use it in my own office. And I do a training session on the average of once every week to every 3 or 4 weeks, depending on time, but I have. But I've done additional 25 or 30 sessions in the last year and a half in addition to those. And I've continued to get better after getting off my medications, which is pretty cool.
And pain-free improvements that you see as well. And it's interesting, just a couple of minutes left in the program, and we'll have Dr. Carlton back with us. A number of people that don't have any of the particular issues that we were talking about a moment ago, they do it just to step up their game, right?
That's correct. I have an example in my book, a gentleman, mid-40s. His name is not Jose, but we'll call him that. Anyway, he came to my office and he was the owner of his own company, has several offices, one in Houston, one in Atlanta, one in DC, if I recall correctly. Anyway, he came to me because he felt he was losing his edge. And simply put, he was becoming less effective at work. And he said, I used to be really good at answering the phone and handling patients and my clients. Now I'm afraid to answer the phone. I'm not having as much fun. And I can tell my business is sliding and I'm having not as much fun at home either because I'm always stressed and I'm anxious. And I never used to be this way. I'm like, okay. So we set him up with training and we fitted within his schedule. His was a little more like mine. We did 10 sessions in a couple of weeks and then finished his, he did a total of 30 over the course of a couple months working around his work schedule. But his results were so impressive. He came in, typical businessman. He came in and said, well, Dr. Carlton, you're not charging enough. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, I paid you $3,000 for 30 sessions. I said, yes. Okay. He said, I came up with an idea today that pays maybe 10 times that. He just started laughing. I'm like, congratulations. That's what you came for, right? So, I mean, it's interesting because, yes, that's what people do. So if athletes do it, professional athletes use this, golfers, you can go on the sites for the International Society of Neurofeedback and Research. They've got all kinds of references to these things, different people who have used them in the past. But yeah, that's one of the more interesting stories for a gentleman who came to my office. I got such a kick out of it.
Our guest on This Week in America is Dr. Edward Carlton. That's C-A-R-L-T-O-N. Information at his website, which is CarltonNeuroFeedbackCenter.com. We can link on directly at our website, thisweekinamerica.us. The book is The Answer. Available on the website, you'll find the book available wherever books are sold, and information at his website or other places you can link on by and get there by going to our website as well. The Answer, the book for anyone with ADD, ADHD, anxiety, depression, insomnia, autism, bipolar disorder, epilepsy, PTSD, or traumatic brain injury. So much more to talk about. We'll have Dr. Carlton back on a future program to talk about that. An amazing story, and I know this not only changed your life, but you're able now to go out and change the lives of so many people, and I can see the passion, that look in your face as you're talking about the patient that comes in and being able to turn around lives for people. Turn around yours, it's surrounding for so many others. Doctor, thank you so much for being with us on the program. We look forward to having you back with us.
Thank you, Rick. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you. You're listening to This Week in America. Information on today's guest and all of our programs at the website thisweekinamerica.us. Stay tuned. We're right back after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.